Comic Book Club is brought to you by the generous backing for the following Patreon donors: David Gallagher,
Luke Asink,
Kevin Perez,
Eduardo Martinez,
Matthew Wood,
Mitchell McDonald,
Zika's Viral Comics,
John G,
Alex Steep,
Patrick Ho,
Dennis Scott,
Curtis LaRock,
Hugo Sanchez,
Jason Kelly,
Severin,
and Oscar M. Madonna.
Thank you guys so much for your support, and enjoy the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the second decade of Comic Book Club.
Oh, man. What a time to be alive.
Whoa, unbelievable. Yeah. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And there's no man in the booth because for our first show, we're in a teeny tiny space above the pit again.
Yep.
Pit attic. For those of you listening at home, that doesn't matter. You don't need to know physically where we are or anything like that.
But we're taking it back to our roots. You know, when you start a new, we're reinventing ourselves.
We're rebooting our
franchise.
We are.
It makes a lot of sense. We're a younger, fresher Spider-Man who's back in high school.
Oh, man.
His back isn't broken.
I don't think I could live high school.
His back isn't broken?
Like Tobey Maguire had a lot of back
that
problems.
That was a really old reference.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Well, I know I seem young and fresh, but I'm actually very old.
Yeah.
Well, I am the youngest member of Comic Book Club.
That's true.
Let's never forget that.
Well, I'm 25. How old are you?
I am 24.
Wow. I guess I'm 26.
Wow, you said that like you were old.
Yeah,
you're
very still excited. Well, how was your guys' New Year? Was it good?
Awful. The worst ever.
Why?
Great. Let's not dwell on that. How was your New Year, Justin?
Great. The best ever.
Cool. Mine was right in the middle.
All right.
I will say, so we've been away from each other for one of the longest times ever
in
our 10 years of existence, a full month. But in a couple weeks, we're going to be together for a long time when we go on a cruise.
Yeah, this is true. I think they're probably booked up at this point. We're going on this thing called Fantoosie Cruise. It's a Comic-Con on a cruise. And it's actually going to be really fun. It's from January 19th through 23rd. It goes from Tampa to another place in Florida to Mexico.
Key West.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. I'm more excited about the stuff that's on the boat. We're going to be doing 8 panels over 2 days on the boat.
Hell yeah.
We're going to be talking to Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo.
Oh, man.
Gail Simone, Mark Waid. You don't actually know any of this because you didn't bother to check, right, Pete?
Well, no. I thought you were going to send a fucking email or something.
It's on the website.
What website? Not our
website. Fantoosie.com. Oh. Also our website.
I looked on our website.
Yeah, it's on our website. Check out our website at comicbookclublive.com.
Let me just open my resolution. Have this argument with Comic Book Club.
Nice.
So I'm glad we were able to make
I guess things haven't changed that much. Anyway, that's going to be a lot of fun. So we're going to be getting a ton of podcasts off of that. We're going to be recording all that stuff. We'll probably talk to you about it next week as well. But we should welcome our guest.
Yes,
one of our favorite guys to have here on the show. Thank you so much for joining us, Abraham Reisman.
Hi.
Yay. Welcome back.
Happy New Year.
Happiest of New Year's. Thank you to the crowd. I mean, it's a hometown crowd for me. You know, I love playing in small places. Uh-huh. You know, attics. You know, people love me. Yeah,
attics, basements.
You kill in attics.
Absolutely. Yeah. I need to have a little bit of an intimate vibe. Mm-hmm.
So how was your New Year? You've been generating a lot of stuff. You've become best friends with Ron Howard, I hear.
Yeah, that was weird. Well, here's the thing. So Ron Howard tweeted out a link to an interview I had done with writer-director Alfonso Cuarón, and I got really excited until I realized that the tweet just said, interesting. He didn't say whether he liked it or not.
Hot take.
Yeah, he said, interesting. It was about a movie, and he said, interesting. I rewatched this movie recently. There was really no commentary on whether he liked my interview or not.
Sure.
But we're best buds. He's coming to my birthday party now.
Did you hear a Ron Howard voice narrating?
Somebody did a good Arrested Development joke, which was after I tweeted out that he had tweeted at me. A friend of mine said, you know, Arrested Development narrator voice, it's a wonderful article, you know, like the time that he said that. It was a nice deep cut, but things have been pretty good. As we'll find out, as we're going to talk about later, there's been some really good comics lately.
Well, but let's talk about something that's kind of comics adjacent.
So love comics adjacent.
A lot of
things.
Really big, really deep stories for Vulture, for New York Magazine, like we've been talking about.
Thank you. Yes.
Riverdale is coming up. Riverdale. You have something on that, right?
Absolutely. So Riverdale, the primetime teen soap adaptation of the Archie Comics mythos, is about to debut on the CW, and I have been working for a few months on a big feature that is pegged to that, but is about the Archie mythology writ large. So sort of the history of the company, the recent history of the company, which has been pretty fascinating and behind the scenes kind of turbulent, and kind of the me trying to figure out the meaning of these characters and why they've lasted for 78 freaking years. And it was interesting because I didn't really read Archie growing up. I have nothing against it. It just, it was, for whatever reason, not a part of my comics diet. I was a pretty committed superhero guy. And
but had you never encountered it, or were you just like, not for me?
Well, but that's one of the interesting things about Archie, right? I didn't read them as a kid, but everybody knows who Archie is. I have absolutely no memory of when I first found out who Archie, Betty, Veronica, and Jughead were, but they're just there. They float in the ether, much as Superman floats in the ether for people who aren't us, you know? Like, you don't have to read a Superman comic to know that he exists.
Right.
And it's interesting to see how the brand has evolved in the past few years, because under the reign of their current co-CEO and kind of de facto main CEO, John Goldwater, they've done this really insane revamping.
Yeah.
Which you guys are certainly aware of. I don't know how many of your listeners are, but you know, they really threw out the playbook, to use a cliche, and kind of made weird stories the rule as opposed to the exception. Like, you know, it's not that the brand was alien to the concept of doing weird twists. I mean, we all live in a world where Archie Meets the Punisher happened, which, by the way, for the story, I actually read Archie Meets the Punisher. It's great.
Yeah, it's great.
It's a really,
really
good comic.
Yeah.
Well, but that's I think, the biggest thing about all the Archie high-risk moves are they're all good.
They are good.
The storytelling is actually better than a lot of their main comic
Completely
titles,
agree.
I think.
Well, because there is such passion for these characters among creators that when they do these takes, they aren't disdainful or winking. It's not going like, oh, isn't this stuff stupid? Like, these come from people who really care about these characters. My personal favorite of the weird ones from recent history is Archie versus Predator.
Yeah,
which is so good.
Yeah, it's one of the most.
It's so fucked up.
Like, it's so fucked up. But at the same time, Alex DeCampi, who wrote it, clearly loves these characters.
Yeah.
Like, there is genuine gravitas when, you know, these characters get dismembered and murdered. It's not just like, haha, isn't it funny that I'm like ripping up my brother's toys or whatever. It has weight. I love it. And of course, do you guys, what of the new Riverdale stuff do you like? You know,
he reads Archie, pretty much all of it.
I read all of it. Afterlife with Archie, I think, is amazing.
Incredible.
Sabrina, I think, is the darkest title in comics.
That's my number one. Yeah. I only read the first volume recently, just over the break, but
so good.
It's so good. It's so dark. It's Lovecraft style mythos sort of thing.
Right, and it's a period piece, which is wise too, in that it's not just, you know, the other Archie stuff that's been coming out, the sort of sexy Archie stuff and asexual Jughead is, you know, squarely contemporary. But I love how Chilling Adventures of Sabrina just goes like, nope, this is going to take place in the 60s. Like, we're going back.
Well, and I think the main Archie book that Mark Waid's doing, the Betty and Veronica book, is definitely like, this is a little sexual, right?
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of it. I like Adam Hughes. I don't think it's his best work. But.
No, and what I like about it is his style just goes that way. But he's being weird with the storytelling a little bit.
Yes,
like,
absolutely.
And I give him credit for that. His style is his style, and that's why people hire him.
I should mention that Pete is sitting here silently because he hates Archie, right?
Yeah, I mean, why the fuck are we talking about this? We got a lot of stuff to get to today.
Well,
because I'm writing an article about it.
Well, I can't wait to read it.
You had me on the show. I'm supposed to promote my stuff.
Don't plug your stuff unless it aligns with Pete's interests. That's all.
Well, Pete can just offer a reverse.
So let's talk about the show. The thing that's something that actually gave me a lot of hope for it was that the guy who wrote Sabrina, the guy who wrote Afterlife with Archie, is also in charge of the show.
Yeah, Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa, who is a lifelong Archie fan and has been a television writer for a long time. And interestingly enough, his first exposure to the Archie Comics company was getting a cease and desist letter from them, because in 2003, he put on this play that he'd written while he was at the Yale School of Drama called Archie's Weird Adventure, which had Archie traveling through time, like interacting with Leopold and Loeb, the like celebrity kidnappers. The audience loves the Leopold and Loeb references.
Feels every time I bring them up.
hopping around in time, but the thing that got him the letter was Archie comes out as gay in it. Like, he has a boyfriend. And the previous regime for Archie Comics was not so much into that kind of experimentation. So anyway, the point was, ironically, now he is their chief creative officer. And Afterlife is great. Chilling Adventures is great. And Riverdale, here's the thing. Teen soaps are not exactly my thing. So I don't love it, but it's not because it's not good. People I know who work with me at New York Magazine, I've said, like, you like teen soaps, watch this and tell me if it's actually good. Yeah. And the consensus is yes. It's a little campy at times, but that is in no way a complaint. There's a lot of sort of weird over-the-top stuff. And when I interviewed Roberto about that, I was like, were you going for campiness? And he's clearly a little nervous about that. Like, I don't think he wants...
He doesn't want to say that.
No, well, he doesn't want to say that, but also because he loves these characters and he doesn't want people to think he's making fun of them, which he definitely isn't. There's just stuff that's so... ridiculous.
Over the
but
top.
Great.
Yeah. And I got to say, Afterlife with Archie, he is like sort of purposefully, he like sort of absorbs the campiness and just runs away from
it
in just the right way. So I feel like maybe he's flipping that a little bit and being like, let me just jog toward the campiness.
For your listeners who don't know, I mean, Afterlife with Archie is this story about the Riverdale gang surviving a zombie apocalypse, which again, sounds like it should just be this goof that's poking fun at the stupidity of the Archie mythology. It absolutely isn't. Like, he cares about these characters so much, and it's genuinely sad when, like, Jughead dies and is turned into a zombie.
Well, and if you want to, like, if you haven't read this series and you want to jump into, like, sort of a single issue, the issue about Reggie is such a great standalone. Reggie basically, like, admits he's a sociopath. It's a great, like, just... storyline, a story about how he developed.
It's this good character study for this completely one-dimensional character.
Yeah,
Pete is loving this, by the way. He's absolutely.
Pete, why do you hate Archie so much?
I don't know, man. Like, it's just a teen drama.
He hates
Steve
when he was a teen.
Yeah.
Not a great time.
Here's the thing.
He went through puberty four times.
We're entering our 11th year, Pete, so I hope you don't turn on us as well. We're almost
that's right.
I probably will.
We're tweens right now.
Yeah, we're gonna.
We are not.
We are. We are a tween.
I love going to the mall.
We're a collective tween. Yeah. Oh, I love the mall.
That's great.
I love listening to pop music. I'm sure Alex can name some musicians we like.
Sure can.
If we keep antagonizing like this, the show's just going to run out, slam the door, you know, go into its bedroom
Its
and never talk to us again.
Yeah. Text its friends. We should probably actually mention, even though we shouldn't promise this since we haven't actually recorded it yet.
Cool.
But I'll
what a tween answer. Like, yeah, I'm totally going to do this, but maybe not because I'm really busy, but I might do it.
I'll force it.
But I might do it, but maybe not. I don't know.
But we're going to do a Riverdale podcast.
We are going to watch all of Riverdale and do our first like TV podcast
because you guys wanted a way to torture me. You were like,
it's
"Let's
not a torture." I'm sure you're
fuck you. It's
you're
not.
Gonna
you're gonna make me watch this fucking teen drama bullshit.
You're gonna have some interesting observations.
Yeah, I will say actually, I've watched the first couple episodes as well. It's really good.
Yeah, I mean, Pete, so you like it's really fun. You don't have to like teen dramas to like find it enjoyable. Mm-hmm. It's just for me, I had to give it to other people to find out whether I was enjoying it for the right reasons. If that makes any sense.
Great Bachelor reference,
Pete. You like hot babes, cold brews, and just fun, right? You're gonna love Riverdale. Oh, yeah.
Let me ask you, Pete. What's your favorite type of drama? If I could, would you say period?
Psycho.
Anything psychotic? Okay. Yeah.
Psychotic drama. Great.
Floor is vibrating. I don't know exactly what's going
on. That's a great sign to be in an attic with a vibrating floor.
Quake has shown up.
I mean,
Just real quick before we move on, we should mention, so the way that we're going to roll it out, we'll roll out the Riverdale podcast as part of our feed. Maybe we'll do it as a separate feed as well at some point, so check that out.
Have me on.
We will. 100%. When does your story hit the magazine?
Story comes out, I should have memorized the day. I think it's whatever the Monday of the week of the 21st is, whatever that.
Ooh, what a riddle.
Second, yeah. riddle me this bad. Fool.
Think there's the 16th is a Monday, and then later the 23rd is a Monday.
Okay, the 23rd then. Yeah, it comes out in the print edition that day.
And it checks
it'll be
out.
Online either that day or
Thank
day.
You. I have Hooray. A calendar in my brain.
There we go.
Good
awesome. Well, everybody definitely check that out. It'll be at New York.
Yeah, nymag.com or just follow me on Twitter. Twitter.com/AbrahamJoseph or go to AbrahamReisman.com. You could even misspell Reisman. I have both domain
Do
names.
Really? They
Smart. Well, they my last
branding.
Thank you. The last name has been misspelled for generations in my family, and we've just sort of made our peace with it.
Oh, it's got sad there at the end.
But if you're on Twitter, don't read anything else right now because it's fucked up. Right.
Yeah. I don't know when you guys are listening to this. Oh, you at home with your earbuds.
I'm sure
in,
a bunch of stuff is going to leak out about this over the next. Let's move on.
As a drip, but it's going to end up being a flood.
Come on.
The joke is golden. All right, let's move on, guys, to our very first stack.
Thanks.
Very first. I'm going to post this weeks from now. Yeah. Let's move on with our very first stack of the new year with four comics that are exactly the same.
Moon Knight, or whatever.
Let's just say.
They actually are all great in their own way.
Wait for it.
Same, are they?
Pete sort of became the dictator of the stack today.
First of all, Pete, you want to talk about this Punisher? I wanted to say number one, but it's not.
Yeah, no. Marvel has this dumb thing now where they put the wrong
number one up in the top row, in a storyline.
It'll be number seven. One Into the Wild starts, and then you book much smaller at the bottom left. It's number seven.
I think that I don't want to make a declaration. That's purposely misleading.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's purposefully misleading. Yes.
There you go. Well, Pete, you wanted to talk about this.
I just wanted to bring it up. It was Steve Dillon's last. What are you doing to me right now?
Just keep going.
Anyway, it was Steve Dillon's last issue of Punisher. And why, after 11 years, you guys got a problem with me and how I hold my microphone?
We're recording on different microphones. Why are we talking about this in the middle of the podcast?
It's ridiculous. Anyways, you're looking at me like, all right, anyway.
You're peeking out, you know.
So,
I used to work in radio.
The guest understands what's happening.
So the last page is Steve Dillon's last page. Marvel did a really great job in the letters section. And I really appreciate it. I thought it really painted an amazing picture. And I was very happy and pleased when I went to get this. And I wanted it to be something more than just the last issue. And it really was. So I was very happy with it, even though it was a sad moment in time.
Yeah.
It's pretty powerful.
Yeah. I will say, I know this is such a weird thing to focus on, but I loved that there was one last totally over-the-top, gross-out moment that Steve Dillon got to draw.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There's a moment where he jabs a guy to throw with a bottle, and the blood pours out of the spout of the bottle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So disgusting, but so Steve Dillon. And
absolutely, that was the thing. I mean, Steve Dillon was this incredible balance of, or had this incredible balance between the over-the-top, grand guignol, or however you pronounce that, bloody, and subtle facial acting and gentle movements. I don't know how he was able to do it.
Well, I think from the times we've talked about people who've worked with him, they say that he just did it. Like when he was fresh to, we were talking with Karen Berger. But what he had died right before we recorded our interview with Karen Berger. And she was talking about when she first started working with him when he was like 22 or something. He just showed up with his work, and it was the same.
All there.
This is just how he draws, and he always has. He didn't have to develop or go through this process. He was just like, well, this is what I think of the world, and I can capture it with my pencil.
What I think is kind of amazing about him, and I feel like we did talk about this before, right after he passed away, but when you first look at his figures, they all kind of, at first glance, if you're reading through it at the pace of a normal comic book, they all look like box heads.
Yeah.
And they all look the same. Yeah. But when you actually look at it, they're all subtly different, and all the facial structures are different, and they're all unique.
Yeah, the way he can just capture through just facial gestures so much. You know, just the little things are so powerful in his art.
Right, like in Preacher, he drops a nuclear bomb, but that's not nearly as explosive as just, you know, somebody smiling. It's incredible. And it was nice that the last page, not the letters page, but the last page that got published of his art, it's so eminently Dillon in that it's this full page panel of some weird old lady holding a shotgun and pointing it at the protagonist. And it's just, that's the kind of stuff you loved from Steve Dillon.
Yeah.
Having these weirdly kind of humanist takes on hideous, weird people, right? Mm-hmm. You know, this is the guy who drew Arseface, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah. Well, and also, our main character is the Punisher, but our last page cliffhanger is a random stranger. Like, I feel like that's very Steve Dillon to be like, random look stranger. At this weirdo. We know what the Punisher looks like.
Totally. Yeah, and, but that weirdo is then etched into your mind in a way that you don't usually get with randos. Yeah. It's great.
If you haven't picked it up, Punisher number 7, definitely check it out. And, of course, check out all of Steve Dillon's stuff because it's awesome. Yeah. Let's move on and talk about another... I was going to say dude, but whatever. Midnighter at Apollo, number 4.
Oh, God, it was so good.
And here's something
I owned so hard.
I just noticed this is 4 of 6. So this is a limited.
I'm so sad that this is a limited.
It sucks.
It sucks so hard.
This very much recognized as one of the best comics of the year. 2016 this was.
Yeah.
So just if you haven't been reading the book, basically what happens, Midnighter and Apollo are back together. Apollo dies, gets sent to hell, and Midnighter's like, nope, I'm going to get it from hell.
I'm literally going to go to hell and get my boyfriend back.
It's incredible. Like,
it's well, and also it's this, you know, Steve Orlando is young enough that he's part of this generation that came up reading stuff around the late 90s, turn of the 2000s. So he's obsessed with a lot of the same stuff. We're about the same age, and we're obsessed with a lot of the same stuff. So for me, it's just catnip to see a story where, like, it's not just any hell, it's Neron's hell. Neron, the antagonist of Underworld Unleashed.
It is hilarious.
A crossover everyone else forgot about. Yep. it's great. And he fights the Mausier, which is, you know, a character from freaking Hitman. And... It's incredible. He fights the subway pirates in the first issue. Like, you can't make this stuff up.
Yeah, it's great. Midnighter is one of those characters that is basically like Batman meets Punisher. Is that a fair
that's
way?
Not, that's not far off, yeah.
Yeah.
With superpowers.
With superpowers. And Steve Orlando figures out a way to take it completely over the top with every single issue. Just give him a standout fight scene. I just wanted to mention, I forgot his name for a second, but Fernando Blanco, who does the art, it's gorgeous.
Really great.
Like, well, I'm looking at this page right now of Midnighter jumping in the air and fighting the Lord of Guns, who's...
Mausier,
who's is a demon with a cowboy hat and 6 guns and 6 arms, and it's gorgeous.
And then he kills Mausier by headbutting a magic bullet through his head.
Spoiler!
Sorry.
Well, it's kind of a cover.
I mean, you
also
you
came out 2 weeks ago, but
I mean, just the intensity of him kind of going through hell, and just it's such an amazing, fun ride when you're reading it. And like, I was giggling on the train reading this, and it was just, when he headbutts the bullet, I was just like, yes! And it's just great because. He's also he's not just doing this because he's a badass.
Well, I also
doing it for love.
That Beyond Midnighter, the stuff with Apollo is great too, where Apollo is facing down with
Neron.
Neron?
Maybe it's Neron. I don't know.
I say Neron. What do you guys
say? I
thought
it was Neron.
I say Neron.
Okay.
P doesn't know how to read.
Yeah, he says Far. Okay. There's one page where Apollo is trying to trick the devil, and it basically, like, he doesn't say anything. It just slowly zooms in on his face. And it's such a tense, wonderful, emotional scene. Plus, the whole idea of the book, just this emotional connection between Apollo and Midnighter, is beautiful. It's great.
And I also, like, that moment, Apollo's like, I will trick you. And then he loses, which is...
Or does he?
Interesting.
Yeah, we'll find out.
We'll find out.
There's got to be another part of that.
Well, let me... taking it just from what we have in this issue, I actually like the idea that he lost.
No,
that
totally.
He was like... he overestimated his ability to win just for this issue. Felt like, oh, very cool. And that...
Right.
That Midnighter's fists are what end up saving him and not Apollo's, like, I'll outsmart you this time.
Yeah.
And also the fact that Neron is such a shitty devil. Like, he's like he's like the devil from a tenth grader would imagine. Like, he's definitely got shoulder pads. He's the scariest dude I could think
of. Welcome to the mid-90s,
yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I love that it's like a shitty hell.
Yeah. It's great though. Yeah. Have you guys been reading oh my God, I'm blanking on the name of it.
The Bible.
The Bible.
You guys were in the Bible.
There's a lot of stuff.
There's a devil.
A lot of stuff
there's
coming
a devil
up lately.
On that.
You gotta get right with God.
The Wall Street Journal.
It is a good.
Let me be honest. I'm waiting for like sort of the collection of everything.
Yeah, Wrath of the Eternal
War. I'm train waiting on the Bible.
I want the old and new together. I want the definitive deluxe.
Yeah.
All right.
You know
they
have different writers and everything. Wrath of the Eternal Warrior. Have you been reading that?
Yeah.
I have not.
I'm a few issues behind, but it's very good.
Yeah. Well, it's the same sort of. I mean, same sort of thing where it's he's in this hell purgatory thing and fighting devils, and there the devils are so insanely over the top.
Yes.
Like, they're gorgeous. I'm forgetting who does the art on it, but there's literally a guy named Humongous that he has to fight every issue.
Every issue?
Pretty much every issue. Like, every time the Eternal Warrior dies, he gets sent back to this purgatory with his family, and he has to make a choice to be like, the world needs me, I have to come back to life. And in order to do that, he has to fight his way past this devil called Humongous. And it's incredible. It's great. You should definitely check
That's
it out.
That's awesome.
Let's move to another purgatory hell Batman-esque guy. This is very themey.
Wait till you see how we're going to finish this thing.
You won't believe
what happens
next.
Where we're going next.
Moon Knight number 10.
Oh, yeah.
Comics. Now, I saw you tweeting about this, Abe.
I did love Moon Knight. Well, here's the thing. It hits home a little bit for me in that it's a flashback to the early days of Mark Spector, the alter ego of Moon Knight. And it depicts him as a largely friendless, geeky Jew living in Chicago, which, c'est moi! Like, that was that was my whole childhood. So he's from a different era, but like it's
did you
weird.
Also have an imaginary friend? Yeah.
I did have an imaginary friend that later sent me on missions around the world and buried New York in sand. Yeah,
his imaginary friends are named Alex, Justin, and Pete.
What?
Holy shit! Who's Abraham even talking to right now? But, yeah. Nobody. This is
certainly
all.
Explains why you're in an attic.
He's just talking to himself in an attic.
Yeah. I loved this. I'm totally in the tank for Moon Knight at this point. I've liked Jeff Lemire for a long while, but this is almost inarguably his best work so far.
Well, let me throw one argument back, Jeff. He obviously
his best non-creator owned work, I should say.
Okay. Well, but he's writing this obviously, but if you we
Holy
didn't
God,
cover it,
Greg Smallwood.
We
yeah,
didn't
sorry.
See, we didn't cover it because it was over the break, but After Death, the book he's
done
with Scott Snyder.
Yes, that is great.
So fucking good.
And unlike anything else in comics right now. It's this weird mix of prose and illustration. Yeah.
You're not reading that, that's Jeff Lemire on the
art. I don't
know
when does Lemire sleep? He's writing like six different books right now. He's like Bendis at his peak right now. It's nuts.
So, he's also doing Old Man Logan,
which I love.
Me too, but it's so different from this.
Totally
it's
different. Like although the most recent issue of Old Man Logan did have a whole like, is he alive? Is he dead? Is he dreaming? Anyway, this one is great.
Yeah, real quick, get back to Moon Knight, just for those of you who haven't been reading it, it's a little difficult to explain the plot, but if you ever seen a TV episode where the main character on a supernatural show is in an insane asylum,
and they're like, you've been making this whole thing up.
Magic doesn't exist.
Like the Buffy episode or
exactly.
whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. And we talked about that with the first issue. We're like, that's an unsustainable concept, except
it's still going,
later,
man.
It's
yeah.
still going.
Yeah. No, absolutely, because it uses that as the jumping off point and then becomes... You know, we were talking about this before the recording started about, like, you know, whether it even matters that it's real or not. And I feel like it doesn't at this point.
No.
I'm just completely along for the ride. Yes.
Well, let me say, upon reading this, do you think that the world is in danger or is it all in his head? What's your
take? That's the thing. Usually in those kinds of stories, it's a foregone conclusion. Like, it's not like they're going to just change the entirety of the rest of Buffy to be like, oh, actually, she was crazy this whole time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here... it's really kind of up for grabs.
I agree. Yeah. I think
I genuinely don't know where it's going
to
turn up.
Well, that's why I think it's up to it's a great example of it being up to the reader to think what they think. So what's your hot take?
I don't know. Alex, you go first.
I would be kind of shocked if they're unambiguous at the end of this.
Yeah,
yes,
probably.
They will reveal.
Because the idea of this is Moon Knight figuring himself out, figuring out his own psyche, sorting out his different personalities, sorting out his issues, trying to get his brain on right. And the reason the world is destroyed is the world inside of his head. So whether that is actually a metaphor and is actually happening in the outside world of the Marvel Universe.
So you don't want to answer my question.
Yep.
I'm going to say I think it'll turn out to be some kind of mix between the two. I know that sounds like a cop-out, but I genuinely think that's
he'll wake up in a bed and be like, oh, it's just a dream. Sad.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I love Moon Knight, and I've loved all the Moon Knight runs, especially recently. But this, I love Jeff Lemire, but it's been going on too long now that I'm getting upset.
Because you don't know what is real.
I don't. And I want
you hate
it to
that.
And I want it to be real or not, and no. And that way, because it's 10 issues and we still don't know, it's driving me insane.
So what do you think? Do you think it's real or not?
I
Just make a guess. What is this? Do we stop having opinions on this show?
Well, I just...
You're not going to, like, perjure yourself.
Exactly. There's no consequences.
If it's not real to be this invested for so long, it's upsetting. So I want it to be real, but I'm scared that it's not.
I think... I mean, it... It's interesting that the thing that I like about this book is the thing that you hate about this book.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I guess it's not interesting.
Not unpredictable.
One thing we can all agree on, though, that is real is Greg Smallwood, the penciler and inker, and Jordi Belair, the colorist. Holy God, this is a gorgeous book to look at.
That they're able to create so many different looks for it and so many feels throughout is kind of amazing as well.
I am a little sad. I mean, it couldn't last forever, but the previous storyline had multiple different artists doing different takes on reality.
That was
any
cool.
mainstream superhero comic where you can see freaking Francesco Francavilla and James Stakode doing it. It's incredible.
And it working.
And wasn't Chris Sprouse the other one, I think?
Yeah,
it was great.
And it didn't feel weird. It was completely
natural.
So one thing that I'll mention, you mentioned that the Moon Knight runs have all been really good, and I have really liked how... In the recent era, I think probably since Brian Michael Bendis, everybody has explored his insanity in different ways with varying success. Initially, I was kind of annoyed how much this drew on Warren Ellis's run.
Yeah.
I just kind of continued it. And what I like about that it's 10 issues in is that it has become its own thing. It
absolutely
still has
100%.
Its elements,
well, and I think the difference here, the Warren Ellis run was very much like observing Moon Knight and its differences, his differences, and this is like we're fully in Moon Knight's head, and we don't know what is real in the same way that he doesn't.
I can't get invested in it because if it's like, oh, and it was all fucked up, it's like, fuck you, man. Well, but that was sad with that kid that was your imaginary friend. Like, I related to that. I was like, oh, this is so cool. But then if you're just going to be like, nope, I'm going to be mad.
Here's my prediction. Mark Spector, real. All of the people, his different personalities, fake. Khonshu, real. Villain. And I think none of all the sand stuff is an illusion.
All right.
Wow.
Interesting.
That's a very detailed take.
I love this book.
This is a total gap in my knowledge, and I probably should have known this. I didn't realize he was Jewish.
I only knew that because, and you were going to laugh, do you remember the terrible... Earth X sequel, Universe X.
Yep.
I read that when I was a kid, and there was a whole section about Moon Knight where I can't remember who the narrator was. It was some like very obscure character that Jim Kruger was obsessed with, was talking to Moon Knight in the future and saying that by working for Khonshu, this Egyptian god, it was returning to the Jews being the slaves of the Egyptians. At a young age, I was like, that feels really insensitive. I'm not sure I'm down with that.
Long way around the barn, man.
But anyway, the point was, as a youngster, I was like, oh, there's a Jewish superhero. I don't think anybody had pointed out to me that Kitty Pryde was Jewish at that point.
Well, I feel like I remember in a Marvel Holiday Special where they'd be like, and this is the Jewish story.
Yeah.
It was about Moon Knight.
They're visiting
Sabra.
In Israel, right. Ben Grimm is there, and Kitty Pryde.
Right.
And on the DC side, I was like, look, Ragman.
And I was like, Jewish guys.
I know we don't talk about Arrow on this show, but I just want to mention, like, I've talked about a lot over the past 10 years. One of my least favorite things is how somebody has a characteristic like that, where they're like, they're the Jewish character or they're the gay character or something.
Yeah, right.
That's the only thing they could mention. Every episode of, I love Ragman so much. Every episode of Arrow is on, they're like, well, you're Jewish. You like latkes, right? It drives me up the wall.
Because in the DC comic universe, that is truly the character they lean on.
Who are the other Jews in DC? I can't think of a single one.
Superman.
Yeah, well, okay, all right, All right.
Well, let's move from Marvel's Batman to Batman.
Batman.
Finally, a vigilante pick.
Batman number 14. So this is Tom King and...
He's reuniting with Mitch Gerads from Sheriff of Babylon. Yeah.
This issue is gorgeous. So they've been slowly building the storyline between Batman and Catwoman. I got to be honest, I don't know if this happened in Catwoman's run previously, but she's been accused of killing 236 people, I think.
I could be wrong because I haven't been following Catwoman too closely, I'll admit, but I think that was something that Tom King made up.
Yeah.
No, I think it's from something.
Was it from something?
In the earlier...
Could be completely wrong.
Because I think in an earlier issue of this run, they referenced something else. Because I haven't, whatever it was, I haven't read
it. I remember them talking about it earlier.
Yeah,
in the
run, I just don't know. This is, we're very.
All right, sorry, we're all admitting. You shouldn't talk on a podcast about how you don't know something. But, I will say, honest, before we go further, you say it's gorgeous. I was tweeting about how nice it was, and Mitch Gerads tweeted at me that he was given 50 days to make this.
Wow.
This issue,
really?
Which it shows. I mean, yeah. it's incredibly... He did the pencils, the inks, and the colors, and it's just such a fantastic piece of visual work.
So this is in the next morning... Catwoman is going to jail. She thinks probably to die, I think, right?
Yeah.
And Batman is like, no, absolutely not. That's never happening. But they decide to spend one last night together doing their Batman-Catwoman thing, playfully going back and forth, maybe kind of doing a little stealing, doing a little crime
busting.
Well,
you say do their Batman and Catwoman thing. She wants them to do the Batwoman-Catwoman thing where they have sex.
Right.
And he wants to do the Batman-Catwoman thing where they fight crime.
Right.
And there's sort of this tension about which they should spend their time on, which is great.
So they do a little bit of both.
Yeah, right.
What do you guys think about this issue?
I think it's beautifully done. I love this run. I have a problem in general with the Batman-Catwoman relationship.
Really?
I don't buy it ever. Every time we see it, we don't
and
ever...
We should caveat this with Justin married a thief, so
yes.
Go on.
I should be fair, yes. And I've never seen her face. She always wears a mask. And we have a child together, so... but then the child wears a mask, so I haven't seen her face either. It's just very confusing. But no, we never hear Batman's emotional side of it. We only ever see him be like, I shouldn't be with you, and all this. And I want to... We have this whole relationship. We've never heard his take. Like, why?
Somebody has to have written. Yeah.
No, it's always like this. It's always like, I really shouldn't.
Maybe
and then they have sex
issue,
on a roof.
Yeah, it's great.
I hope so. But that's what I'm saying. I don't buy this. I would bet so
because this issue was very
Well, wait. Actually, in just the previous run, there was that great bit where he monologues in that the amazing issue that was the penultimate one of I Am Suicide when he talks about Batman.
It's like a
suicidal
letter.
Act.
Yeah.
Right. He while he's monologuing, he talks about how he and Catwoman are bound because they are both people who assumed these identities as declarations.
Well,
that they
definitely,
were going to
but
kill
that
their
to me,
self.
That's
it's not a sexy thing. But
well, it's not even emotional. It's like an encyclopedia entry about a relationship.
Well,
and I want to see him. Like, I want to see the emotion.
Well,
I have not done it.
One of the reasons I like their relationship is because it is a part of who they are. You know, like, Batman respects who Catwoman is.
Yes.
And he hates her because of she's evil, she's a bad person, but he also loves her because she sticks to who she is and she respects that. And I think that it is a turmoil for him, but the fact that no matter what, and like, Catwoman was awful, she was doing all these fucked up evil things, he never gave up on her.
She just steals stuff. She's not that
well,
bad.
Well, no, she was doing a bunch of in the last arc. She was like running shit.
Right, but the whole thing is he's doubting whether we're supposed to doubt whether that actually happened.
Yeah.
Right. But he never loses faith in her.
No.
And then they have this really special night together, which I thought was very powerful and very beautiful, and I like them together.
And I agree with you. It was cool, but you could also read this issue and be like, oh no, he just wants to have sex with her on a roof. Like, there's nothing that I understand your take.
Right?
He believes in her and all that.
Let me ask you guys a question.
He could also be like, hey, when are we going to have sex on this roof?
No, let me ask you a question. In real life, if you were on a roof and you saw a bat fucking a cat, what would you do? Like, what would your reaction be?
A Batman fucking
a
cat woman?
No, not a bat.
Literal bat.
Like, literal bat. Yeah, what would you do?
I would say, oh, love is, you know, all over.
You'd be back on it? Yeah. Love is over?
There,
no,
the romance
love is
makes
all
sense
over.
For Pete, you know?
Exactly.
Pete would be like a cartoon Italian chef, being like, ah, the love, it is all over.
Yeah, I would put out spaghetti and meet the balls for them.
The modern day Lady in the Tramp.
Yep. Yeah, it's like a Disney movie. Bat fucks cat.
Yeah.
Coming from Pixar.
Now that's news.
All right, that's been our news.
I love your
section.
Catchphrase. Yeah. And that's news.
So we end the stack. Now that's news.
I got to say, I've been a little mixed on this Batman run. I love Tom King, and I think the art's gorgeous. And
who doesn't?
I like it, but I haven't emotionally connected that much with
that's
the
what
run
I'm saying.
So far.
Huh.
Well, but I love this issue.
I got to say, I really, the I Am Suicide run, that's when I was like, what's happening here?
Yeah.
It's been a little wonky.
I didn't love. I didn't think it was bad. I thought the first issue of I Am Gotham, the first chapter was great, where Batman saves the plane and thinks he's going to die and does the little monologue with Alfred about whether, not monologue, dialogue about whether it's a good death. A lot of I Am Gotham didn't really hold together, although it was the rare occasion when I really loved David Finch's pencils. I feel like he did a really good job with it in a way that I don't always think he does. But yeah, with I Am Suicide, that's where I really got hooked. I thought it was such a fascinating take on the character. And Jesus, those layouts, the full page ones,
I think what it is that I've more appreciated this run than anything.
Sure, yeah.
That the craft put into it, both from the writing and the art perspective, has been great on every individual.
Oddly, that's
art.
Often how I feel about Tom King. I admire him and I love him, but I, you know, Vision and certainly Omega Men and Sheriff of Babylon, I don't read those and go like, I'm laughing, I'm crying. I more look at them and go, this is an incredibly well laid out equation.
There was something, I get what you're saying, but for me, Vision, and we've talked about this a lot on the show,
yeah,
there was an uncomfortableness that creeped under my skin when I was reading it that got to me on an emotional level. And Omega Men, by the end, I was so emotionally invested
That's
in
true.
These characters.
By the end, it was, yeah, a different story.
Yeah, it built and built and built and built. And we'll get there. I mean, he's in the building phase right now.
Yes, he clearly is a guy. I mean, look, this is a guy who plays the long game like no one
definitely.
Else.
Definitely. Well, he's like a Jonathan Hickman who does eventually inject emotion. Jonathan Hickman is like, nope, it's just math. And Tom King is like, no, just wait for it. And then
it's a separate fight we can have. But
yeah.
Great.
All right, cool. That's it for the news.
And now that's the news.
There we go. All right, let's roll with our next section, which is my favorite section because we get to go down to you guys. It's your audience question.
Hi, audience.
Yay.
Yay, audience.
Guys, you have to understand, for the listeners at home, we are at Wembley Stadium. There are tens of thousands of people out here
on their
chanting
best
Pete's
on their
name
best
right now.
Now, Pete's going to come out to you with some questions. So
didn't see that coming.
Who's got something?
My name is Kevin. So it's 2017. Do you have any comics-related resolutions? And have you broken any of them yet?
Ooh, interesting.
Ooh, I loved that.
Comics-related.
That might be the best question I've gotten in the audience on all the times I've been here.
Oh, wow.
Wow, look at that. That's a big up right
I mean,
there.
Oftentimes you just get, like, who would win in a fight questions, which, you know.
Well, this is who would win in a fight, you or your resolution.
Do you guys have any comic book-related resolutions? Pete?
I stopped doing resolutions. I mean, after a while, you have great idea, but then it's a little disappointing if you fall short. So
I'll tell you mine.
Real cry for help.
I haven't had time to break it because it's something I can just procrastinate on forever. But I'm going to try and finally read the entirety of the Jack Kirby Fourth World.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, it's his 100th birthday this year, and I'm planning on doing a big feature about him and his legacy.
Oh, man. I can't wait to read that.
So, it would be insane to say I'm going to try and read every Kirby thing ever because the guy was a dynamo unlike anyone else. But I do feel like it's probably worth my time to at least try to read the entirety of the Fourth World saga.
Wow.
Because it's, undistilled Kirby. You know, Vince Coletta was inking it, but other than that, it was all him. Have you guys read much of that? I mean, I really haven't.
No,
honestly, I've never. I've only just.
Well, also,
seen
a lot of
patches.
The stuff's out of print, which is weird. I'm sure they'll put it back
in. I saw
print.
A deleted scene from Batman v Superman that had a mother box in it.
Yeah,
that counts.
So I saw that.
Yeah,
that count as
that's basically the whole
one.
Thing.
Okay.
And just as well crafted as any.
I will say this isn't a resolution that I had until now, but I had something that I've been thinking about a lot. Is
a half resolution?
Yeah, I haven't really been to as many comic conventions this past year as I was in previous years, and
what a nightmare.
Well, I don't know. I feel a little removed from the comic book community. It's fun being able to go to those things and see everybody and talk to them, look at their art. That said, talk to me after we've been at a comic book cruise for 4 days if I feel the same way.
Then we'll know what it's all about.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. It would be nice to go to more comic book conventions this year.
Really? I'm surprised to hear you say that.
Because I hate people?
Yes, obviously. No, just because we went for so many years that it's like, what do you think you're missing out on?
Great question.
And we'll talk about that for 4 days on the cruise.
And that's the cruise.
And that's good shit.
Yeah, don't answer.
We will end every podcast on the cruise with that. Now that's the cruise. My resolution, I have moved all of my comic books from my mom's house to my current house. I have all of them there, which is so much.
Yeah.
Like a problematic amount of comics.
So what's the get to the resolution?
All right, sorry,
Jesus,
you in a rush?
Well, I'm just saying, you're really...
Pete is ornery today.
This is very surly Pete we have here, and Pete is the surly one. You're surly as a sailor. I think that, so I have one box has a star on it as like my faves. I'm going to go through and reread all of those.
Oh,
wow. Right.
And then start to like just go through the whole
I thought
package.
Your resolution was going to be something about cleaning up your comics.
Yeah.
No.
Or organizing them or trying to get them in some kind of than just a towel up in your basement.
If you guys, cool. A little behind the curtain, literally, Pete. If you guys remember when I moved two times ago, I had to get rid of like truly about 10,000 comics.
Jesus. Wow.
And I mostly gave them away. I had a $5 for all you can carry to strangers, and some dude filled his trunk with comics. I have basement space now. I'm keeping all these. I'm going to go through and reread all the Starman, Bone, the whole deal.
Cool,
what
man.
You, Pete? What's your resolution?
I don't do them anymore.
All right, I think we can take one more question.
Sorry, I took so long with my answer when you didn't have one.
We have other things to talk about, you know what I mean? Really milking that whole thing. I've got a basement now.
Yeah. So, you know, that is like a real brag in New York City. Yeah. You have a basement.
Yeah, sorry to get so cocky.
So please, your name and your
question.
Maybe
you could resolve to have a basement.
Wow. My name is Pablo.
Hi, Pablo.
Hi, guys.
Yo.
Speaking of New Year's resolutions, what is the worst New Year's resolution you ever heard from anyone?
Ooh. Unrelated to comics, just like in life.
Anything.
Just in general. Mm. There was a guy, I remember this, there was a guy who was like, I don't do resolutions anymore. That was pretty shitty.
Yeah, it's funny because that's what I was going to say.
Oh, yeah.
Name your own?
Oh, man. Worst resolutions.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like people actually talk about the resolutions out loud to me a lot.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to admit any sort of level of failure. Well, I got to think that a resolution that you truly believe in and then absolutely fail at, that's the worst.
Well,
right?
the dumbest one I ever did was a couple of years ago. I was going to say, please don't laugh, but you're going to laugh anyway. My New Year's resolution was to find a wife. Like, I was going to, like, find the person I was going to spend the rest of my life with. Which was
the stakes could not
easily
be higher.
Right, exactly. I was like, if I just lay this out at the beginning of the year, it'll probably happen by the end, right? Which is not in any way how love works. I mean,
that's
like, if
the secret.
Yeah, that's the secret.
Right. Exactly. That is the plot of a romantic comedy, probably.
It absolutely was. Yeah. Well, down to the point where, like, I ended up the next year dating somebody who I was supposed to see on New Year's Eve of the year when I was going to find a wife, but I got food poisoning, so I couldn't go out that night. So we, like, met up the next day.
And she had sex with Batman on the roof.
She had sex with Batman on a roof. Ironically. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Awkward. Do you have one, Justin?
I don't know. Reading comics is not a great resolution, the one I just said. And having a box...
you're going to do it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Having a box with a star on it's pretty lame also.
Yeah, I will... This is not a good story, so I shouldn't repeat it, but every year I try to have a manageable resolution, like not something like, I'm going to lose 50 pounds or whatever, but I just decide not to use my phone for one day. Like, January 1st, I just turn off my phone. I've actually done it for like 3 or 4 years, and then this year I was at home... my wife went out with the kids, and I was like, I gotta leave the phone on in case they need to call me if they need anything. So I turned it on, and immediately I was like playing games on Twitter and everything.
That's
so I lasted about 4 hours. It was pretty lame.
Wow, yeah. That's bad.
Bad. What about you, Pete? Worst resolution you ever heard?
I don't know.
I don't do not doing resolutions.
Are we going to have another? Is the next 10 years you just you not answering questions?
Yeah, exactly.
Refusing
exactly.
to talk about Archie and Batman and you don't like Moon
The
Night.
Only thing that I have to add is that that's what happened to me this year is I got food poisoning. I spent 4 days bed and it was the worst.
That's awful.
What did you eat?
Made the mistake of going McDonald's and getting a Big Mac.
That was your first mistake.
But we should mention the good part of it is your resolution was to get sick with food poisoning.
Yeah. Mazel tov.
So it all worked out.
That's nice. Mazel.
Yeah.
Great accomplishment.
All right, that's it for your audience questions.
Yay!
Okay, guys. TV has been off for a while, but we can very quickly go into Week in Geek.
I think so. I mean, we haven't talked a ton about a lot of these shows because we've been so busy doing so
Well, going things. Into the new year, let's frame it this way. Going into the year, which shows are you most excited about seeing, other than Riverdale, which we've already talked about?
Yeah.
Abe, what about you?
Geek shows. That's a great question.
I mean, any shows.
Just shows in general.
Sure.
We'll find a geeky. Pete's waving thing at me, and I'm not sure why.
No, no. I was like, I actually have something to say.
All right, Pete, go first while I think about it.
Yeah, I was trying to buy you some time.
Go for it. I appreciate it.
I can. Preacher. You know, Punisher we're going to get. More Luke Cage. I mean, this is the greatest era of television ever. It's all so good.
I like to point
good.
Out that Pete's treating Justin sort of like a weeble right now. Yeah. He keeps pushing him, and Justin pops back up.
It probably doesn't help that Justin is wearing some sort of elf hat.
Yeah. That's true. I look like a weeble?
Also, Arrow. I mean, more Arrow. Is gonna be. It's just going to be so great.
Yeah. What about you, Justin? What are you looking forward to?
Well, I don't know off the because I feel like
Supergirl, DC Legends.
No, I know other shows. I do think that Walking Dead will be better going forward. I do think so.
Just based on the comics,
it was a tough season, but now they're going to fight. They've decided to fight.
Will say
that's one thing that you never see on Walking Dead is fighting. You know,
yeah, well, no,
they just well, you kind around. Of. I mean, so here's the thing: is that there is a lot of talking on the show about how the world has moved on and changed, and what is our lives like. That
Walking Dead became Talking Dead.
Yeah, very good. And it's terrible most of the time when they do that. Uh-huh. But the beginning of season six, when it became a crazy over-the-top action movie and it was just compressed, it was really good and really fun.
Okay.
And they're heading back into that right now, and I'm excited to see that. So to back you up.
I'm
most excited for Legion. I cannot wait to watch Legion.
So, yeah, you guys should get the screeners of the first two episodes if you can. Yeah. They're giving them out because they're really confident about this show. They gave out the screeners like 3 months in advance.
I'm excited how confident
they
are.
It's really good.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw the pilot, most of it, at New York Comic Con. They did a screening of it there. And then I got to see the first two on screeners. And it's amazing. I mean, it's unlike any other superhero show you've ever seen because it's Noah Hawley who does Fargo.
Love.
And he had no interest in doing anything in the, you know, either in the kind of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Legends of Tomorrow-y vein or like Arrow, Flash, whatever, or in the like Netflix Marvel thing. It's this weird, impressionistic, you know, anachronistic, odd thing. It's fascinating. I love it. And also, but also, it's not disdainful because he's a big geek. As I found out when I interviewed him, he goes back a long way. He has been an X-Men reader for many decades. And so it's terrific. Yeah.
The thing that is most interesting to me, I mean, we'll have to see how this pans out, but it almost seems like now Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was kind of an aberration in terms of it was just coming out of the Marvel movies and trying to be like the Marvel movies on TV. And it just really hasn't worked.
No.
Every series that they've done pretty much since has been idiosyncratic to the creator and unique in its own way.
I sort of disagree with you. I don't think the DC Universe shows are. I feel like they are just like, here is regular comic book turned into regular TV.
Yeah.
DC stuff?
But
yes. Oh, I agree. Like, it's really good superhero TV, but when you look at the Marvel stuff, I wasn't a huge fan, honestly, of Agent Carter, but I'm a piece of shit. Also, I get that it had a style to it, and it had the tone of its creators.
Right.
Then you have, also, not a big fan of Daredevil, but at least, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and Luke Cage have all had their own specific looks and feels and tones. Legion is pushing it forward. I'm really curious to see what they're going to do with Inhumans now that they're launching it as like an IMAX feature thing.
And Runaways, whenever that ends up happening. Yeah. And Cloak
and Dagger.
I think
that's really cool.
Cloak
and
Dagger.
They're giving them all very different feels.
What a time to be alive!
It's quite a time to be alive. What do we think?
Also, Young Pope, guys, the best superhero show.
Yes.
The Pope is the only real superhero.
Yeah, well, he was bitten by a radioactive pope and gave the proportional strength.
Also, the Tick. We're going to get more the Tick.
Obviously. But let me ask you about a show.
But
Young Pope, Powerless. How do we feel about Powerless?
So, you guys heard what happened with Powerless, right?
This is where you're supposed to be. Like, that's all the time we have. We don't really get into
it. No. Well, let's talk about Powerless. So, initially, it was at a risk assessment firm. It was kind of like damage control. But in the DC Universe, they just released a trailer the other day, and now they work at Wayne Industries R&D. And it's basically.
Yeah, it's a completely different show.
Well, it's crazy.
I mean, it'll still be a workplace comedy, but the gimmick
is
wildly different.
It's just way more gimmicky.
Yeah.
Now they're not work. It's just they were like, stakes are too high. Let's do a much worse
version.
And
one would expect that since they're you know, changing it to Wayne Enterprises, they're also not at all confident that people would care outside of brand synergy.
I have no knowledge about what behind the scenes or anything like that, but it seems to me like a much public and slower thing than what happened with Gotham, where initially when they announced Gotham, they were like, it's Commissioner Gordon's show, the end. And then a couple of weeks later, they were like, well, you know, there'll be some Batman characters. And then they're like, well, it's a young Batman show.
Yeah.
And it just...
Well, it's literally everything except Batman.
Yes. So I just feel like a lot of times they put these concepts through. They're like, hey, wouldn't this be great? And then somebody's like, why the fuck is Batman not in this fucking thing, you pieces of shit?
Well, Gotham has been very enjoyable.
Gotham has gotten a lot better.
Yeah, and I enjoy Gotham, and I'm looking forward to Powerless. It's just an interesting thing that it always, at the end of the day, they're like, Batman is the only marketable thing we have, you guys. Throw him in everything.
Well, there were two pilots this season. One was Damage Control, straight up, I believe. Yeah. And then there was Powerless on the other side. And this one won. This one went to series, and they've backed off so hard that I feel like... And this is the first true superhero comedy that's coming out, and I feel like it's going to ruin the whole
at least within
option the, of that
the big two. I know if it flops, then it's hard to imagine there being a whole lot of confidence about doing a straight up superhero comedy. Then again, it's hard to pull that off, so maybe you shouldn't encourage people to try too hard at it. You know.
Well, we'll see. Listen, I hope it's good. There's a fun
it's got
cast.
Danny Pudi, you know, he's fun.
Exactly. Alan Tudyk.
Alan Tudyk, yeah.
Very cool.
K2SO himself.
And I think that's it for the week in Geek.
Yay! Yeah.
All right, guys. What do we usually do now? Trivia, you
trivia.
Think? Let's do it.
Trivia, you think?
I don't know. It's been a
while.
You ready, Pete? You ready to do some trivia?
I threw my phone, so that means I'm ready.
Great.
All right, this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up.
Great audience tonight.
It's an opportunity to win $25 free. Who would like $25 free? Simple raising of your hand. Oh, man, that was tough. His hand went up first. I'm going to go with first hand up guy.
Often we go with first hand up guy.
Yeah, that's right.
Little known Legion of Superheroes character.
All right, sir, please let us know your name.
Yeah, Kevin. Reader lad, actually.
Kevin, audience Kevin. So, Kevin, how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers, get all three questions right. $25 gift card is yours. So in honor of what we were just talking about, comics on TV is going to be the category. I'm very excited for this coming season of television. So a couple, here we go. Constantine is coming back.
On The Affair.
Astoundingly.
Which character is having...
Constantine is coming back. In what form? Is it A, an animated series on CW, B, live action on Fox, or is it C, an interpretive dance on PBS? So it's either A or it's B.
It's A.
A is correct, yes.
Wow,
I'm looking forward to the
answer.
Animated series on CW for Constantine. Very excited. Question number two. When does Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. come back? Is it A, in February, B, tonight, or is it C, never? So it's either A in February or B, tonight.
I'm missing it tonight.
Yes, well, thank you for missing it tonight.
Right.
I'm very excited for coming back. Last question. Supergirl, Arrow, The Flash, and DC Legends of Tomorrow have all been renewed for how long? Is it A, until 2018, B, until 2017, or C, forever? So it's either A, which is the correct answer, or B.
It's A. They've been renewed for the next year.
That's right. All of this year and all of next year, we are going to have Supergirl, Arrow, and DC.
Can I just say, I love that Pete, every time he mentions the show, says DC's Legends of Tomorrow, which is the official title.
That's right.
The
full
this
title,
guy's a fan.
You didn't say Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Is it? Marvel's
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Marvel's Jessica Jones, Marvel's Luke Cage.
Daredevil.
Yeah, yeah. We have to do that on first reference now.
Ugh. I hate that so much. I never want to write about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because those stupid periods and the stupid
awful.
Show,
I know, you can't
insane.
Just do the caps.
Yeah. Wow, wow, guys.
Hey, guys.
Wow.
What a living nightmare.
Yeah, man.
Hey, let me ask you, how do you do it? How do you keep the calluses off your goddamn fingertips?
You drink your milk, you eat your vitamins.
How do you keep those period bugs?
You guys have tough lives.
There's a lot of hard jobs out there, but entertainment journalists are
truly, truly very
speaking of which, support your local entertainment journalist by going to our favorite comic book shop, Midtown Comics.
Yeah.
Who sponsors the show. As we all know, tomorrow is new comic book day, so you should probably head there. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Well, I'm looking forward to a couple of things.
Why don't you keep it to one?
Okay. Doctor Strange.
Wait, I have a New Year's resolution for you. Keep it to one.
Okay.
Keep it to one, you stack dictator.
Okay. Doctor Strange, Punisher, Magic Bullets number 2, and Power Man, Iron Fist number 12.
There's so many words there. Is that one comic or not?
Yeah, yeah.
Great.
So it's one comic. It's Doctor Strange, Punisher, Magic Bullets number 2.
So tell us about that comic.
Power Man, Iron Fist number 12.
Those are two comics, right? Yep. You want to tell us about any of them? You're just literally screaming nouns.
Yes, thank you. Well, Power Man and Iron Fist have been
lifelong
amazing. And the comic, I think, is one of the best of last year, so I'm excited for more of it. I just like the kind of odd couple that they're friends, and their crazy adventures that they have. The artist and writer are phenomenal on it, so I'm a big fan.
All right, nice. Weeble, what about you?
Well, I recommend wobbling, but not falling down. because if you fall down, very difficult to wobble back up, especially in Weeble Town. I'm looking
forward. You
really
committed to that. You just kept going.
Hey, I know all about Weebles. I am one.
Weeble.
That's me drifting away from the microphone and then coming back to it as I wobble. I'm looking forward to Southern Bastards number 16.
God damn it, you stole mine.
I was happy to steal that from all of you.
Yep.
Great
especially
comic.
Especially because I have it written right here.
I didn't steal it from you, Pete.
Who among us is not looking forward to that?
I mean, it's. I feel like we're starting to get to the hero's side of this, maybe?
Hopefully.
Yeah, maybe?
Wouldn't that be funny?
Where Coach Voss has been basically running shit for, like, 12
issues.
He's gotta
die soon.
It is great. You had that whole storyline, you know, the Gridiron storyline, where there are no good people. It's just horrible, awful folks doing terrible things. Yeah. Like, Coach Voss,
really hard
the closest you get to a virtuous man, because he has, like, sort of a code of honor, I guess.
What? No!
He looks so good, though.
The college football final, the championship game was last night, and Alabama lost to Clemson. And I was thinking about Southern Bastards. I was watching and thinking about Southern Bastards. Like, it was, I was like, fuck, this is real shit right now.
Yeah.
Well, I'll pick Star Wars Poe Dameron number 10 is coming out.
I feel like really? Number 10 already?
I know, that's right? Crazy. I feel like this title gets lost, I mean, for a Star Wars book, but gets lost in the mix with Star Wars and Darth Vader.
Almost like the character Poe Dameron himself.
Yeah, I think so, but Charles Soule, who writes it, took, like, how many lines of dialogue did he have in Force Awakens?
Yeah.
Like, 2, 3, something like that?
Basically,
and somehow perfectly captures the character and has fleshed him out in a bigger way than they did in the movie. It's just a fun, breezy book.
And I love that the story behind it was literally Charles Soule watched The Force Awakens and just, like, tweeted, I want to write a Poe Dameron comic.
Yeah.
And I guess Axel Alonso was like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Why not? It sounds good.
It's just really fun.
Yeah, he just likes the character. No, it's lovely.
Is it every issue him saying, I've always wanted to fly that, and it's different stuff?
Yeah. Well, there was an entire arc where he very slowly says, who talks now, you or me?
Cool. That's great, because that's great dialogue, and it's great to see it expanded through 22 pages.
Yeah, what are you looking forward to?
The next issue of Squirrel Girl, because every issue of Squirrel Girl is a good issue of Squirrel Girl.
Look at this audience.
There literally has not been a single bad issue of that comic since it debuted. It is the most reliable. And Alex, I have said this to so many people, and I try to credit you every time I do. I never always succeed, but it is the best value you can get in a superhero comic. Mm-hmm. You spend like half an hour reading it. What other superhero comic do you spend half an hour reading?
Know. It's great.
Black Monday Murders.
That's
After
not a superhero
Death.
Comic.
It's not a superhero comic.
Black Monday Murders, you do spend about 3 hours trying to piece through.
Great stuff, though.
Yeah,
love it.
It's great. And plug your stuff again.
Oh, yeah. Twitter.com/AbrahamJoseph and AbrahamReisman.com. It's I before E, but, you know, again, if you get the E before the I, it'll redirect you.
All right, there you go. A couple of things before we go. The show is free to come see and free to listen to, but it does cost us a little bit of money to do. So if you would like to donate some money, patreon.com/comicbookclub. We have a bunch of fun rewards, as you probably heard if you're listening to the podcast at home. We mentioned your name in the show, if you can believe that. That's kind of crazy.
Guys, when we eventually get shipwrecked in a couple weeks, we'll name the volleyball after you. That's one of the great rewards you can get.
There you go. And also, if you want to check out our full schedule for the month, it's up on our Twitter account.
A lot of great guests.
Which, what's our Twitter account?
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Yep, you can check us out at comicbookclublive.com, nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank Abe for being here.
Yeah!
We want to thank our fabulous interns, Ema Bell, Tom Radar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, and Riley Trahan. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're at usually the Pit Loft every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
And thanks, everybody. One last thing. If you guys want me to pull any pranks on Pete when we're staying in the same room on this ship, please tweet him at us. No. I will do all of them. No. Just let me know what Pete
pranks. Well, I mean, guys,
hashtag Pete Pranks at Comic Book Live. What do you want
do? You want us all to come back alive? I mean, that's the question.
Well, let's see what the people say.
Yeah.
Guys, thanks so much.
Yay,
that's the show.
Thanks for having
Good night.